what do you do? Now you have this mess on your stomach. Do you encourage her to get you something to clean it up with? Do you just go ahead and do you rub it in?
Like a lotion? No, I normally offer to go get a towel. Or I'll go to the restroom and use Kleenex and rinse off a little bit.
I see. Okay.
But that one's the simple one, Mike. Like the two harder ones are missionary and doggy. Hello, and welcome to Your Mileage May Vary. We talk about sex and relationships with frankness that is often controversial, but mostly in good faith. We have the usual assortment of nonsense to discuss today, including ideal 69 positioning, a rather impressive description of how hard a penis feels, whether unperky breasts are a turnoff, and more. I am Keith. My co-host is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Keith. I have something to say at the top while people are still listening. We took advantage of this thing on YouTube where you can automatically have your podcast be over there. And we now have, drumroll, 4 subscribers.
Yes.
That's good, right? But we actually have a fair amount of, like, we're actually, people are watching on there, which is weird. I tried to create a channel before and we got banned. But I guess YouTube's looking for more revenue. Although, can they even monetize? Your Mileage May Vary? Time will tell. Anyway, if people like the show, you can go to YouTube and just search Your Mileage May Vary and just subscribe. And it helps us with the algorithm. It doesn't cost you anything. The downside, of course, is people can see how well my plea works. You know, we'll see in a week.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably 6.
Yeah, we've been outed.
Yeah.
If I subscribe, can people look at an account and see what they're subscribed to?
I don't know. That's a good question. And that's, like one of the problems with having a sex podcast is people don't want to, as we know, like sort of out themselves as listening to it. It's a little secret hobby.
Yeah, it's risque. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a thing today. I had a date tomorrow with a new person, and we matched on Hinge, and we, set up the time for the date, and we exchanged Instagrams, and I feel like the pictures that she chose for her Hinge profile misrepresented what she actually looks like.
Interesting. I'm going to go on a limb here and guess that the Hinge profile was not attractive enough, and actually she's way more attractive.
Yeah, right. I wish. Now, I don't understand why women... It's the same person, and it's not thing. It's like just that the pictures she chose are... The lighting's good, or there's some sort of filter, or...
She's a little bit of a two-face.
That Seinfeld reference.
Yes.
It oversells her a bit. And anyway, I canceled. And I agonized a little bit about whether I should say why I was canceling.
I'm a little bummed out that I can't see the delta here.
Sorry.
You canceled, so why do you care?
It's not easy to share. And it's boring for the show anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So you agonized over whether to be honest with her about the rationale. I mean, obviously, it sort of doesn't matter. This gets back to your desire to be honest, right?
Yeah. I said something came up, which is technically true.
You're too ugly came up. Something came into my brain. I do think it would be interesting for our listeners to understand, like, this is kind of an extreme thing you did. So what is the level
of
delta?
I almost never do this.
What's the level of delta here? Like, is it mostly like, hey, this woman's not attractive enough for me to date? Or is it you're just mad at her because there is a delta?
It's a little bit of both. Like, I feel like she was misrepresenting in a sort of fraudulent way.
Okay.
And two,
almost,
it's not, I wish I was less vain, but I think humans just are. Like, I wish I was still excited to meet her after I'd seen what she really looks like, but I wasn't.
And it's not, usually it would be weight, would have been, and that's, I know you said it wasn't weight. And the reason why I would say it would be weight is because that's pretty changeable. But this is not changeable. This is like facial features or something. Like, like maybe it's as if she got plastic surgery before. It's a filter or something.
Yeah,
something
I mean, it's changed. A little bit hard to imagine, but, you know, imagine somebody, you know, was an eight.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see other photos of them that reveals they're six. Like the classic thing is six. Like somebody okay. wears sunglasses in all their photos.
Yeah.
And then you finally see a picture of them without sunglasses or without makeup or with lighting that isn't low. And it's like, oh, okay, I see what's actually going on here. Like okay. she had somehow chosen five or six photos that didn't really represent what she looks like.
Was the conversation with her, was the flow of the conversation, you're talking, she sends you the Instagram, you send her yours, and then you immediately say, something came up?
No. Okay. Like, a number of hours passed.
No, I actually okay, but the, canceled the next it. Message was that.
Yes.
So it's obvious that it's in relation to, so she,
I don't think
she's going to deduce that.
I don't think so.
All right. She might. She might
I don't think, I think it would be hard for someone to conceive of this conversation.
Not for a man, for a woman.
Like she can't imagine that like she was catfishing to this level.
I don't know if that's true because I mean my experience is that women do obsess over their looks and it's very, very concerning to them.
Yeah, but these woman. Other pictures that she's posted to Instagram, she chose as well. It's not like I'm getting, you know, like candids from her photo roll. The worst, I know. You know, the bottom of the barrel there.
I just think that it's like, you know how women, typically women have better color vision than men? Mm-hmm. I think there's some scientific research or double blind.
Well, some women,
but some studies.
It's interesting. I think, you know, people typically have three cones and
right.
each cone is sensitive at various parts of the visual spectrum. Some women and no men have four cones. So they have like hyper color sensitivity. And then
yes.
some people have two cones, men more than women. And when you have two cones, you're missing sensitivity in one part of the spectrum. And that's what color blindness is.
I think there's, okay, yes, I think that's all true. I think there's also there's something about my three cones are not as good as, I don't think I'm interacting with a lot of women that have four cones. I just think that they're something, there's something about
cones
the way
are better
they see color
somehow.
A little better. It's like, yeah, I mean, like, I think that I am, like, I'm fairly musical and I think that I hear things that other people don't hear. Same thing, right? Like, I'm better on that and I'm less good on visual. Anyway, so along those lines, I think that when a man sort of rates a woman on a scale of 1 to 10, maybe men could get down to one decimal place. Maybe. I think women could get down to like two decimal places. They're like, oh no, she's a 7.32. I just think they're hyper vigilant about that stuff. And I just don't like, yeah, there's something weird. I almost think that you should ask her what's going on to understand and just be like, why are your photos different? Because right. Like it's actually kind of curious. Like what's going on?
I don't think she knows.
She does. Okay, I disagree with you. I think that she must because I think women are so sensitive, particularly photos of themselves. They're incredibly knowledgeable about their own pluses and minuses. Yeah, and she might want, there's another thing, she might want the feedback.
Your hypothesis is predicated on the fact that she doesn't care about the photos she publishes to Instagram.
And no, I think she...
That's like definitely not the case.
And I think she does.
But because she posts more to Instagram, she doesn't have time to pick the best of the best.
No, I think there's some other factor that I don't understand here because I think two things. One, I think she cares a lot about the photos she posts to both platforms. And two,
I
think
agree with
that
part.
Is actually in a better position than you to gauge her own attractiveness because she's female and it's herself.
I don't think
so. And so I hear you. This is where, so I think there's a third thing here.
Yeah, like, I think people are bad at self-evaluating. We actually know this because there's that website Photo Feeler, which you can upload a photo to and it'll rate you for attractiveness.
Okay.
And yeah, like people routinely have bad photos of themselves on dating sites. And that's like the number one thing that comes up on the Tinder subreddit is like, if you are unsure about your photos, upload them to Photo Feeler and confirm that they're good photos of you.
Is that... Okay, so this is, I'm ignorant here. Is that advice given to men as well as women? Because for men, I know, of course, men would get that advice. But do women get that advice?
Well, I don't know. And then the thing that you really care about is, yeah, like, if let's say there's a pile of 30 photos, are women able to identify the top 10 fairly accurately and men unable to? That's what you're
asking here. I'm hypothesizing, and I think they could rank them better than men. But I hear your point. You're basically arguing maybe they can't because they're not attracted to themselves or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like beauty magazines, Cosmo, all this crap is aimed at women, and it's always beautiful women. It's standards of beauty.
I mean, imagine these women. Yeah, but women also like constantly have like weird dysmorphia, right? So like they like put on like way too much makeup, so they look like a clown, or they lose like so much weight.
This is the third thing I'm looking for.
That like women are not able to. Like your hypothesis is that women are able to self-evaluate very well, and I don't know.
A typical woman, and I'm hypothesizing there's something else wrong with this woman. There's something else going on, right? So if she was a normal, like this is an unusual state of affairs. You've brought this up because it's unusual, and I'm saying I think there must be another factor that explains it, and I think you should find a delicate way to probe with her why her dating app photos.
It's totally impossible.
Is it?
Yes.
I mean, you've already said no even to if a date.
Even if I knew her well, like people just don't like thought experiments the way that we do. Like if this happened to me, I would be like, yeah, let's like get to the bottom of this and figure it out. But like she'd be like, yeah, you're such an asshole. And then,
you know. Well, I don't even really understand it because I am curious to see these photos later. But yeah, I'd like to understand it better too. I believe you that that's...
I looked again during this conversation and...
On your phone?
Yeah, I know. Like,
why don't you hold them up?
Triply, because it's not good content and I can't show you the side by side. Like, it's just not interesting.
Jesus, I'm so desperate to see these though.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you just got to take it on faith like the listeners do.
I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's true. I'm in the
same
boat.
This actually happens a lot. I mean, as you know, I date a lot and people are always like demanding to see photos of the people I'm dating. And I really don't like doing that.
Why?
There's a number of reasons. The main one is it has like zero upside for me in all situations. I guess like if they're like exceptionally hot, somebody might give me like a feather in my cap, but that doesn't have much value to me.
Okay.
And then what almost always happens is somebody will like say something critical. And it's like, you asked me to do you a favor and now you're being a dick. Like, it's just not useful. And then I don't know like what the outcome of like any relationship is going to be, but if I do end up like liking the person, I don't want to have like, you know, on record me having a discussion about the way they look. There's just no upside for me.
Yes, this is you have a Manhattan Project risk. I got it.
What's the Manhattan Project risk?
Wasn't it the Manhattan Project where like if you date someone and they don't know what that is, then it's like a red flag because they're not smart enough. And so it's like if somebody, it's just an example of a thing where somebody goes, oh, they didn't know that. And then it's like, well, now.
Oh, right.
Now you're screwed because there's this thing that this person thinks about your person you're dating. And blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like generally when I'm in relationships, I am pretty careful to run a pretty strong PR campaign for the person I'm seeing. And, you know, like with my family and friends and stuff. And I've sort of become aware over the course of my 43 years that not everybody does that, which is a little bit irritating.
Well, the confusing thing for other people, if you're doing that, is then when you break up and you reveal things, the person's like, oh. And so then they're confused because you were doing that. And so, it's an interesting question what the right approach is.
Yeah, I mean, the reason to do what I do is you don't want your friends like judging you for seeing someone. And like these situations are often kind of complicated. And so I would rather keep the issues to myself, unless I think it's something that I'm unsure about. And then I might get some value from some advice from friends.
Sure. But, yeah. I mean, it's tricky. Yeah. judgmental friends.
I definitely can't ever see this woman that I canceled on now. I don't think I wanted to anyway. But if I did and she found out about the podcast and she heard this episode, that might not
maybe
go well
she
for
would
me.
Tell you. She would. Who, what do you mean not go well? What's she going to do? Like shoot you?
No, she'll just be like,
shun
I can't
you?
Believe you think I'm ugly.
You didn't. You said she was a six. That's above average.
I didn't. I actually didn't say she was a six. I said
you
I
did.
Made up a hypothetical said, person that went from an eight to a six.
My bad. Okay. Yes, you haven't said anything, actually.
That's
you
right.
You said that one set of photos was not as good as the other set of photos. Mm-hmm. That's it.
That's right. I didn't. That was just subjective. There's no objective.
And then you talked about clown makeup and some other stuff. That like,
but that was hypothetical as well.
Oh, I hear you. Yeah, it was totally irrelevant.
Right. All right. Let's move on. So,
yes.
At the end of last show, I told you there was this topic I've been wanting to broach for a while.
Yes.
And I think it'll be an interesting discussion, but I didn't really want to bring it up because I think it reveals something about me that certain people might find risky or something. And so I thought about this some more, and I'm just going to say what I think about this.
Okay.
We were discussing like, oh, there's some way to bring this up without like, you know, making it arbitrary, but I think it'll be better if I'm just honest. It's like,
okay.
So occasionally I have sex with new partners without a condom. And usually this is done after exchanging STI results, but not always, which is why I get STI results in the first place. And usually it's done when I know they're on birth control, but also not always. And so I occasionally find myself in a situation where I am having sex with someone and I don't want to come inside of them because I don't know if there's pregnancy risk.
Do you think, I just want to ask something. Do you think in such a situation, and let's avoid the topic of how often, let's just assume it's happened once.
Okay.
Not common, just to avoid like any sort of whatever. Do you think that in that situation, yeah. Do you think in that situation, the woman is thinking, God, he didn't ask about birth control. Like, is it, because I've heard that kind of critique of men. I guess repeatedly from women that men just don't bring it up if the woman doesn't bring it up. So do you get any sense of whether do you understand my question? Like, are you concerned about her basically judging you in this situation is she just totally game for it? And it's not,
I don't know. That's
important.
A good
okay.
question.
Okay.
I would say my most common experience is, this happens more often than not, even.
Mm-hmm.
Women will say, don't worry, I'm on birth control.
That's what I sort of thought. Okay.
That is good to hear, I guess, but it also implies that they've said, don't worry, I'm on birth control with other sexual partners, which means that they're having unprotected sex, which means that they have higher STI risk.
Okay. That's true. I mean, yeah, presumably, yes.
So, yeah, there. I'm not sure, you know, net, that's the greatest thing to hear. But
I mean, you sort of know that's got to be true generally because the STI's got to make a living too. If everybody stopped doing this, they would die out. And the STI's got to make a living. I mean, it's got to,
yeah, it's got to spread,
circulate, right? So there must be this. Look, here's the truth: The truth is, this is really common. People like to virtue signal that everybody does this all the time. Everybody uses condoms and pills and UT.
Is why I was hesitant to bring this up. Is I don't want the judgment from our listeners that you know, oh my God, you don't use condoms 2,000% of the time,
right? But the truth is that this is, you're probably, I'm going to guess you're significantly more careful actually than the average man, based on the things I've heard from women repeatedly, that actually men seem to not, in most cases, even think about this or care. And that's why I asked the question about.
Yeah, I think we've heard from women on this very show that they're surprised that men, like in their mind, it's outrageous for a man not to suggest using a condom. You know, they'll say, they'll make all these excuses not to use a condom, like, oh, I can't stay hard, or it doesn't feel as good, or whatever. Right. And from the woman's perspective, they're like, okay, sure, but I don't know you. Like, what are you doing?
Could be your perspective. Yeah. I mean, I don't, women are just are people just like men and make decisions. And I think that I sort of like to be on some level optimistic about people. And I like to think, look, these women aren't all being taken advantage of the vast majority of the time.
Right.
Sexual relations are consensual, even if it's a one night stand, even if it's early in a relationship. And the woman has decided that it's okay. I mean, she's horny or whatever.
I just mentioned the flip side of that card, which is that, yeah, like my overwhelming experience is that women will say, don't worry, I'm on birth control.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, they ought to be worried because they could contract an STI.
It's the same thing as like a man not wanting to use a condom strongly implies that he didn't want to use a condom with the last three women either.
Yes.
And a woman saying, don't worry, I don't want to use a condom, implies that she said that to the last three men. And so,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there are situations where men impose on women, but I think most of the time it's a decision made by both parties. And we can discuss how stupid that is. But I think a more interesting discussion is, all right, so I'm in this situation where I am sleeping with a woman.
Yes.
Or I'm having sex with a woman. You are
thrusting.
Yes, I'm inside of her and I am ready to go. I'm gonna come. Now, I don't want to come inside of her. And we have not negotiated beforehand where I'm going to come. So what should I do now? Should I ask in the moment, you know, where do you want me to come? Or, you know, in porn, they often like, well, there'll be like a cut and then they're like, you know, their mouth is somehow suddenly present. But that's not realistic either. And like, I can't just like pull out of her and then like shimmy up to her mouth.
You could.
That. Sorry, you're right. We're whiteboarding here. There are no bad ideas.
I like the idea of shimmying too. The problem there is that you have to actually. So if you think this through, in most cases, you have to get your legs over her legs first, right? I mean, if you're in the missionary position, got her legs.
That's right.
So it's actually more than shimmying. You have to kind of do this obstacle course,
right?
Get up to her face, and then her arms are there potentially. So there's a question of what's happening there.
Yeah.
She might be surprised, like what's going on. This all happens kind of quickly too, right? I mean, you probably have, depending on how close you are, you might only have 5 seconds to enact this maneuver, this sort of remediation for the potential pregnancy.
Yeah. Or you weren't close enough and now you're like over her mouth, but like you're not, you don't really need to come anymore. You know, there's...
That's kind of funny.
Problems here.
So you're just basically sitting on her breasts, beating off.
This is not a good look. Yeah,
yeah.
This is like, oh no. I mean, do I shimmy back down now and go back in? Like, what's the? So anyway, I've long wanted to discuss this because I don't think I'm the only man who's ever encountered this, you know, set of conundrums.
Right. Yes.
And then it's different depending on what position you're in. You know, if you're in doggy style, like now, what do I do? Do I like come on her back? Do I just like pull out and like come on my bed? Like what is like the proper thing to do in each situation?
Okay. In each position, basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's obvious the positions have to be penis in vagina positions because any other thing you're doing, there would be no pregnancy risk. That's all we're talking about here.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So blow, anal, mutual masturbation, anything like that. It doesn't matter. Okay. And I presumably, let's see. So the values you want to optimize are, you want to avoid weirdness, meaning you probably want to be able to have sex with this person again.
Right.
You want to get your semen away from her vulva.
Yep.
Right. You want to be shooting it away so that it can't. So, I mean, in other words, pulling out and then just beating off onto her vulva is not what you want to do. Like that, obviously, but that's
That would be better than coming inside, but, you know, non-ideal.
Right. And yeah, so it's sort of an awkwardness, but avoidance thing. Okay, well, let's, I think maybe...
There's other considerations, like the cleanup after. Like, do I want it on her body in a way that she can sort of like self-contain it on, you know, my while I go get a towel or while she awkwardly walks to the bathroom?
I could remind listeners, assiduous listeners may remember something like 100 episodes ago, we did an episode where somebody innovated a sex move where it's called the cum slap, where you actually are in this situation, you come into your hand, your palm, and then you slap the woman with the cum-filled hand. And he actually did this. So it was
always an option.
Well received because the woman enjoyed a dominant submissive play. Okay, but see, so there are things hard like that you could even do.
Doesn't tick a few boxes. Number one is if I haven't pre-negotiated anything, it's unlikely that I know that she's going to be into the cum slap. So let's strike the cum slap from the.
I hear you. I like the idea that you're like what, baby? That's my thing. It's my signature move. She's just so surprised.
What did those bandits in Home Alone do? They had like some... Oh, they left the water running or something?
Oh, there were lots of things, yeah.
They had some signature move that they left at all the places they burgled.
I only watched the first movie, sadly, so I'm not up. How many sequels?
You're not a
there?
Home Alone expert?
There were like 7 of them or something?
Were there really?
I don't know. I'm guessing. I could ask ChatGPT, I guess.
They're still making them. Macaulay Culkin is in his 40s.
That'd be kind of funny, actually.
It would be kind of funny.
I could see like Adam Sandler making a movie like that. It's like Home Alone adult.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted back to where to come.
Let's start with the woman on top position because it hasn't been mentioned at all. But this is an interesting one.
I know what I normally do in this situation, and I don't love it.
Okay.
Should I just say it, or is that too much of a tease?
Let's assume that she's kneeling over you. In this sort of normal rocking up and down position, her breasts gently swaying near your face. You're getting close. I'm guessing that you have to lift her up and then beat off onto your own stomach.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. How well received is that typically?
I think that's fine. It's fine.
You think you have a good solution? Isn't there some risk, like if you're particularly excited, that you could shoot yourself in the face?
Yes.
You say yes so quickly. I assume
this is a risk that's occurred. It's more like your chin, but
and then you laugh about it or something. I guess she could like lick it off if you're into that sort of thing.
Yeah, usually on a first sexual encounter, women are not willing to engage in all the things that they might otherwise. They're trying to seem normal.
Yeah, I wonder if that's a good strategy.
Not always. I wonder if it's a good strategy, too. Maybe they should deploy the full range of, like, sexy behaviors.
I think they're probably, they're seeming normal. But they're testing you out to make sure. They're terrified you'll make fun of them if they do something or whatever, that you'll mock them or they'll social punishment.
And there's, like, weird danger aspects for women that, like, men don't have to consider. Like,
such as?
Like, if they're like, you know, go harder or something. You know, they risk that the man's going to like take a little bit too much liberty there and start, you know, slapping them or whatever it may be.
I was thinking you meant after the guy ejaculated, and I thought, well, the gun's unloaded. So it's probably pretty risk free at that point.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Okay. So you lift her up. I'm not. Okay. So in that position, you have to get her off of your. This is why it seems like a simpler position because she actually has to be maneuvered off. Of your penis, otherwise she's going to happen. So makes it.
If I say I'm going to come, and then it's obvious that I'm trying to pull out, a really, you know, malicious actor could slam down and like make that difficult. But most women will cooperate.
Okay, yeah, there is that risk. I mean, if she weighs enough, you might actually have trouble sort of levering. Off of your penis at that last moment.
I have not run into that problem.
I mean, the only other thing I can think of that you could do there well, other than something preposterous like getting up, you know, I'm assuming you remain reclining, would be to encourage her to put it in her mouth.
Right. That's okay. That's the only other thing I was thinking of. And yes, I agree.
But
I could also like roll over and like come on the bed instead of on myself. But unless you're at a hotel, like I don't want to do that to my sheets. And I definitely don't want to do that to their sheets. So.
Right. Well, also, wouldn't it decrease like the experience a little bit because you're turning away from looking at her, which probably amps it up a little bit.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird to like, you know, quickly pull out, you know, kind of shove her to the side so that I can roll over onto my side. Like that's not very considerate.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess you could come, you can always come in your own hand, but okay, fine. So I think that, and okay. So the problem
it's
with this,
a little hard when you're on your back though.
To come on your hand. Right. You'd have to kind of contort your wrist a little bit and so forth.
Yeah. It's backhanded. Yeah.
Right. So then what do you do? Now you have this mess on your stomach. Do you encourage her to get you something to clean it up with? Do you just go ahead and do you rub it in?
Like a lotion? No, I normally offer to go get a towel, or I'll go to the restroom and use Kleenex and rinse off a little bit.
I see. Okay,
but that one's the simple one, Mike. Like the two harder ones are missionary and doggy.
Okay, so let's do doggy maybe.
Okay,
so you're between her luscious orbs there, pounding away, and. I guess the concern is you don't want to put, first of all, there's this risk that like her body's shape kind of a contour kind of aims toward her vagina.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get it too close, it's going to
maybe drip down back in.
So
over the asshole into the vulva.
Right. I'm guessing you don't want to just like nut on her anus, which would be too close anyway, but also that's kind of aggressive for one of these early dating situations.
And if you nut on her back, it can like, they're usually sort of ass up and, you know, head is lower than their butt. And so there's a downward slope toward their head. So, you know, depending on my enthusiasm, which being an early sexual encounter is probably quite high.
Yeah.
You know, I might be nutting on her mid to upper back or higher. Mm. And then gravity is going to like pull it down toward their hair or whatever. That's not.
I was also imagining you might actually have a little bit of trouble if she's in the sort of face down, ass up position. It might actually be a little bit hard for you to get your penis up over her butt. Right. Like you may not actually have enough height.
It depends on the height of the gal. Yeah.
Right. So then, if you're kind of in this lower position, you actually need her to like smash down on the bed or something to enable this behavior. So what is your typical solution here?
Maybe I can use like my hand to raise myself up a little bit. I don't know.
You don't have a solution for this position?
I don't like my solution for this position.
Some people in porn, I've seen the guy kind of turn to the side and come on one of the butt cheeks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Normally, underneath them. So it like makes a mess on the bed underneath them.
With your hand?
I pull out right when I'm about to orgasm anyway. Maybe I use my hand to assist.
Even in the situation where you pull out because you're about to orgasm, do you just like, you don't like ruin your, have a what's so-called ruined orgasm, do you? You use your hand to sort of...
Yes.
Make it more pleasurable. Okay.
Yes.
I don't like that solution either. I bet that has not been so it just goes on to the bedclothes or whatever.
Yes, but the problem you have here is the alternative is putting cum on their back, maybe that could reach their hair.
They might have a shirt on too, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this hasn't been discussed. So, like, I think most women are okay with getting a partner's semen on their body. But it's kind of bold to do that without asking.
Can I back
Not
up one
that
second
bold,
here?
But it's a little bit bold.
When this happens, Do you think the woman is surprised that you don't just come inside?
Probably.
I think she would be. Yeah, okay.
I think probably.
So this whole dilemma.
It's almost like a charade. Like I'm like pretending I think they're not on birth control or something.
Sure. Yeah, in some ways you're calling them a liar.
Well, it depends if they've said they're on birth control or not.
Well, let's say they have. It's actually, I wonder if that creates some mental something for them. Because
I see what you're saying.
They've told you they're on birth control. You did this anyway. And there's really, assuming they're telling the truth, there really would be no downside for the man to coming inside her. It's a positive or a neutral to positive. Okay. But you've not had any consequence of that.
Not that I know of, but okay. You know, if a woman is filing that away as a negative, then I probably wouldn't ever know.
I think I'm deeply against this behavior you have of coming under her body. That seems terrible.
Okay. Like, you think it would be better if the two choices are on her back, or on her back as a surprise, or under her body, you would elect for on her back?
I would either do that or I would elect to change positions.
Well,
I think I might elect to change positions.
You're admitting this is a difficult problem then.
Well, because of the shirt thing and so forth.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's move on to missionary.
Okay. Yeah. So I assume here, I mean, I assume your solution is to just come on her stomach. And the problem
that is the standard one. Yes.
Yeah. You have to.
Which is less aggressive than on her back.
Why? Because she can see it?
Well, it's not going to get in her hair.
Probably.
Her breasts sort of could provide a shield to stop it from getting too high up there.
Is that have you seen that function well? Like, is that real? Or is that just an imagined male fantasy thing?
I think it's a little real because one thing that I've done is I'll pull out and then I can sort of lower my body so that my penis is sandwiched between hers and mine. And then I can sort of use the pressure there to finish the orgasm. So instead of my hand, I'm using the pressure of like my weight against her body.
Right. So her body becomes the proverbial sleeping bag or gym shorts.
That's
I got
right.
it.
For non-longtime listeners, that won't make any sense. But yeah, it's so there's not that much space for, like, it's more contained.
In an early encounter with one of these lovely young ladies, how long are the ropes that you usually blow? Like, typically, I'm just curious.
Well, in this case,
I
can't really see. And, like, normally it's...
But you have some insight. I mean, are we talking, like, 6 inches, like, 2 feet? Like, what's the blast radius?
I mean...
I don't think my blast radius would be that high, but go ahead. Yeah.
I think it goes, it's not radius. You're asking for like blast distance.
Your penis is the cannon. And then it's like, yeah, how far from the fine distance.
Yeah.
It's not an explosion. It's true.
Yeah. Radius would be like when it lands, how big of a puddle does it make? It depends. Like if I'm like smashed against her body, it like can't really go that far. That's one of the advantages of that.
I don't like the sound of the smash against the body at all, just like intellectually. But how far does it go if you're not smashed against the body? Let's say you're doing the...
It can go as far as I want. Like if I pull out and like, let's say I'm like kneeling over her.
Yeah.
Like I bet I could reach her face half the time.
Huh. Kneeling over her, but you're below her legs.
Yeah.
Okay. So 2.5 feet or something.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. That's
pretty
decent,
really, it's just the first rope or two, like, you know, and then it attenuates.
Okay. That's a decent distance you're getting there. I think just even judging from like porn, that's like
more than 50th percentile.
It might be. Oh, I think it's, yeah, I think it's definitely more than 50th percentile. I thought you were going to say something like 90th percentile.
We've talked about this before, like measuring semen volume anyway, and like trying to figure out what percentiles are there. But
so aren't you worried at all that when you're smashing, because you can't get up over her legs. So the smashing the bodies thing seems like there's some vulva contact risk.
Yeah, there's some risk, but I think I've perfected the technique here.
I still don't, I'm not a huge fan of this technique. I think that it's...
Okay, so I'm open to suggestions here.
Well, I think I would, I think that the kind of traditional porn technique of just pulling out and beating off onto her stomach would be more preferred.
I see.
I think there's an element, there's something a little weird about what you, it's like the dry humping feels a little weird to me. It's a little,
A little weird to be like kneeling over a new partner beating off.
Oh, I think that's kind of awesome. Yeah, you're like that. You're showing sort of dominance. You're showing who's in control. You're like, look, this is what I'm going to do now. The other one, it's like, feels kind of, what does it feel? It feels kind of juvenile to me or something. It's like, oh, this is, I'm going to.
Yeah, it's almost like I'm embarrassed or something.
Maybe. Yeah, you're not on display.
There's like an awkwardness to it.
Yeah, and I mean, women in general, like, where is your face when you're doing this? Because I don't totally understand. Her legs typically would be kind of back, or would they be down when you're doing this frottage thing?
Varies.
It varies. Okay. Yeah. Where would your faces be in relation to each other? Would your face be
They could be next to each other.
Okay. Okay.
Then I can whisper sweet nothings in her ear while I awkwardly orgasm.
Yeah. I think that in general, although I'm not sure in an early encounter, I think in general women get kind of pleasure out of seeing the guy get pleasure.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of depriving her of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, when you come, let me ask you this, when you come inside with whatever the situation may be in this position, is it basically the same? Can she see your face clearly?
That, I think, varies. I think sometimes, probably with newer partners, I'm probably further away from their face. And then with long-term partners, like having your heads next to each other can be sort of intimate. You're not going to like that.
Okay. It's okay. I'm doing better with intimacy these days.
Oh, good job.
A little bit. So you would have your full bodies touching each other more commonly with a longtime partner. Are you sure that's not just because...
I don't know if it's more common. It's just an option in a way that it isn't really with a new partner.
Like, why is it not an option with a new partner?
You want to be careful. You sort of have to read the room. But some women are looking for some intimacy in early sexual encounters. And other women are just looking to dissociate. And it just depends.
Whoa. Dissociate's a big word. I mean, a strong word for what you think. What do you mean by
that? They want to not be necessarily present. Thinking about me. You know, like they're enjoying the feeling of having sex, but it's less about building a relationship with me and more about, you know, getting their physical needs met.
And you think that you like sort of being on your arms with locked elbows sort of up like that maybe does that better? Or which one does that better? Sorry.
I think being closer to their head is probably more intimate. And so.
Okay. But they can't see your face. Right. So there's like, it's like you're more generic.
Yeah, but they can just close their eyes or do whatever they want.
But what I'm saying is that I could make an argument that the situation where they can sort of like put back in the context of the where to put your load, the one where you sort of pull out and beat off and like you're on full display, I could see that being more intimate because you're being more vulnerable. You're revealing more or something than if you have your head close to theirs.
I don't think so. I think it's like, okay. I think when you have your cock out and you're like beating off in front of someone, I think the man is more vulnerable and the woman can just be like, oh, this is this thing that like the man needs to do. And like some women might be like, oh, wow, that's cool that I was like able, like my body was able to inspire him to do this. But like, yeah, the thing with like having your heads next to each other is that it's just... Yeah, like it's a form of intimate contact.
Yeah, you're probably right. I always thought that beating off in front of women was the most intimate thing you could do. I mean, it is vulnerable. I mean, it's sort of embarrassing, right?
Yes, it is. But it's also kind of dominant. It's tricky. It's a tricky one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I mean, I think that I would be somewhere between the beat off onto her stomach, and I really don't like the slip and slide thing, and putting it in her mouth. I think I'm between those
two. So this conversation has been like largely useless to me. You admit that this is a awkward situation, that in the position where she's on top, the best solution is to just come on my own stomach. The solution when I'm in doggy style, I should
to change positions.
Yeah, change positions. And then
look,
if
doggy style, I think that like a lot of the, like doggy style is very nice to penetrate fully when you're orgasming. And so like when you remove that, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like okay, what are we even doing here? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in missionary, you don't really like any of the solutions either, but you recommend beating off.
No. I think I like the beating off or the in the mouth solution, although I acknowledge the shimmy risk and complexity.
And how do you even bring that up? You know, let's say this is a first sexual encounter.
So I haven't answered that. So you're
maybe
you're
I bring thrusting. It up before I'm close.
No. You're thrusting, you're getting close, and then you got your mouth near her ear. And you say, baby, you're about to get a mouthful. Right? That's what every woman wants to hear.
I mean, if they're down to do that, they would like to hear that.
I think they would never like to hear that. Like those exact words. Baby, I hope you like Slurpees. I hope you like warm Slurpees.
Okay. You could say... Yeah, like... Okay, this is another like general question. Should one say, I'm going to come in your mouth, or can I come in your mouth?
I mean, I prefer I'm going to.
Yeah. But what would women prefer? It depends on the woman.
Yeah. I guess you could always say, no, you're not.
Yeah, but a lot of women can't verbalize any of their wants during a sexual encounter.
How about this? I need to come in your mouth.
That makes it slightly less demanding.
She's like, no, you don't. then your needs are not going to be fulfilled today, sweetie. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that most couples sit around like actually negotiating these things. So the guy winds up having to try things and then find out what is going to be permissible and what won't be.
Yeah, I think it's basically sloppily collectively bargained over a number of sex having sessions.
I agree.
Yeah.
But yeah, this slip and slide, I'm still not totally clear on how it works. And if I was a girl, I think I'd just be weirded out by that. Like what's happening now? What's he doing? What's he doing? I guess she could feel probably the pulsing of your cock pretty well because it's on her skin.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's kind of interesting.
But if I don't have the pressure exactly right, she might almost wonder if I've even come, especially if we're sweaty.
Maybe.
Or at least it enters her mind.
I'll put it this way, Keith. I've never thought of doing that before. And I've watched a lot of porn. A lot. So then
porn never ends in this way because there's no question that the man's going to either come in the vagina or the mouth.
No, that's totally wrong. Actually, if you go to the the Girls Finishing the Job subreddit, like one of my irritations about that subreddit is the vast majority of them are on the face or like on the stomach.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think vast majority is a bit strong, but you're right. It's non-zero.
Face is really common, but it's not internal, which irritates me. I don't really want to see the semen. But
there's a paradox in the porn thing. Like how do you show that the man is orgasmed without showing that the man is orgasmed? So if he does it inside, you can't see.
Yeah, they should have some sort of like pH test. They do litmus test to show see there is semen present.
Right.
I'm not sure. They could just fake that. But this is a unique
pH test.
I don't love the fact that you've invented a unique okay, maybe I should love it. You've invented, I think, a somewhat unique sex act that I've never performed, never seen that you do to solve this problem. That's very creative. I just don't...
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, but you realize that it's going to be, that suggests strongly that it's going to be the first time a woman has ever experienced this. You've never gotten like any critical feedback.
I haven't, but I don't exactly solicit it.
They don't care. Yeah. That's the reality.
I have someone that I can ask. Let me take a note here.
Yeah. Okay. I just think they must view it as unique and unusual.
Ask.
Well, don't say the person's name.
Yeah, I almost did there. We would have had to beep it out. Okay.
I
have a note here.
Okay.
Okay, we're running a little low on time. I think we can get to two of these topics, though, in our last 2 minutes.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so the first one is about 69 positioning. And short and sweet, sex. Why is the woman usually on top during 69? I see women are on top during 69 most of the time. Men rarely are on top, almost never. I'm always on top during 69, but want to switch places this time with my boyfriend and wonder what the outcome would be. Why are men rarely on top?
This person, I'm going to, you know, it's like retard index 7. Like what's, it's obvious. It's obvious why
men
the
are heavier.
Is usually on the bottom. No. Wait, what?
Well, there's two things. I think men are heavier. And then also the woman can't control the blowjob as well as she can if the man's on top.
I think that typically, let's see, in a 69 position, I don't think that people are typically like putting their full weight on each other either direction because the woman needs to be back a little bit from the penis to engage with it, right? She can't be, the guy could be fully pressed up against her body, but she needs to sort of be not. So I don't think you're going to ever put your full weight on her. I mean, if you're putting your full weight on her during 69 and you're on top, then that means she's completely deep throating you the whole time. And that's probably going to be fatal.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be full weight, Mike. There's
okay, but the man can modulate. I mean, plenty of sex.
I know, but like women, it's harder to modulate 180 pounds than it is for a woman to modulate 120 pounds.
I think the main issue is the other one. I do too. You're fucking her mouth, and that's kind of an aggressive experience for women.
Yeah,
and she's in a position where you can't see her, and so you could be suffocating her or something weird going on, and she'd have to like slap your thigh or something to indicate.
Like tapping out in a MMA match.
And so I think most people, there's some negotiation that would be required for that. Now, I mean, he could just do the tip. He could keep it at sort of a safe distance.
Mm-hmm.
That's, by the way, for like a week, there was this TikTok trend.
Oh, no.
It was about, I'm curious if you've seen this one. It was about, or wherever you get your content, it was about sunroofs in cars. What was it called? The sunroof challenge or something? And the basic idea was that a woman opens the sunroof and then has a guy lie on the top of the car with his dick hanging through it. So it's sort of like a milking table.
Milking table.
Yes. And there was a lot of suggestive content for like a week. All playing the same little clip of music, I'm sure, on TikTok about this. You missed this,
I did miss this social media
trend.
Yes.
It was sort of tiresome because so I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I tried to find a porn of it and there aren't any. So I said, well, okay. So this is just some weird Gen Z.
Pretending to do a porn.
The thing is that whenever there's one of these trends, a lot of the female run accounts, they will jump on the trend because they want to get more followers and views and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I assume there's, they can get money from TikTok.
Eventually.
Until Congress shuts them down.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was some kind of a trend around that. It was called the hamster. It was the hamster. It had something to do with like, a hamster water bottle has like the little tube that comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, they used the word, it was like hamster or something, the hamster challenge or something.
Oh, I see. Because the tube's coming down. I see.
Yes. I mean, one thing that I've noticed with milking tables is that there is this issue of if a man is in that position, his balls are going to hang down naturally kind of over the shaft of his penis. And so cleverly, like well-designed milking tables, a lot of times will sort of deal with that. And put his
there's like a little scoop or something to hold your balls.
Yeah, there's like some like kind of fabric or something that can sort of hold the balls back.
That's kind of cool.
Or they'll have like one of those cock ring kind of deals to kind of like control the location of the balls.
Yeah.
And so this wouldn't work that well is the point.
Yeah. Right. I've had various massage table experiences, and some are much better than others in terms of the bells and whistles of how they support your head hanging off the end of the table.
you're just saying you've gotten massages, not like massage porn.
These are G-rated massages.
Too bad.
One other thing on the 69 thing is you can just do it sideways. I think that's probably best.
I think that makes it difficult. Well, the woman getting her legs spread sufficiently sideways is tricky, right?
Oh,
there's going to be a tendency to for the vagina, the vulva, to close.
There's an exercise called clamshells, which is you lie on your side and you bend your knees about 90 degrees, and then you sort of like lift your knee up, and it's supposed to be good for like maybe your IT band or something, or your glutes.
I like it when women do that at the gym, because you get, they'll often do it in yoga pants, and then you get this sort of crotch opening and closing effect.
I just like that it's called a clamshell.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. All right. This person asks, how does a hard penis feel? This is probably a stupid question, but I'm a curious virgin. When erect, does a penis feel hard, like closer to woodish feel, or is it more like firm but has some squishy? I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I'm just a little curious. I'm 25, by the way. I don't know why she needed
to say
that.
It's a woman, I take
last
it.
Last thing, must be. Anyway, listen to this guy.
Go ahead, yeah.
The corpora cavernosa are filled with liquid, which is incompressible. So the twin core is essentially solid. But the corpus spongiosum, underside and glands, is less pressurized and therefore a bit softer. It has some give to it, like the pads of your fingers. Finally, everything is surrounded by skin. The skin of the shaft is not tightly attached to the underlying structures, so it can move up and down quite a bit. Grip your forearm and notice how you can move the skin back and forth an inch or two. The skin is thin, but soft and slightly stretchy. In other words, firm but has some squishy is a good description. The responses to that comment are, holy fuck, we got a penis engineer here, LMAO. Mm-hmm. Cocketeer, if you will. I thought that was just a great, succinct description.
I got to be honest, that it sounds a little potentially GPT generated. It's so detailed. But yeah, they're basically describing the different places where the blood collects, the place where you would have a problem if you had a priapism. That's an erection lasting longer than 4 hours or whatever.
What happens when that happens?
It's a medical emergency.
Yeah. Because it's supposed to flow out. So there must be some blockage that's not allowing the blood to flow out.
Yeah, I got given medication by a doctor like a couple weeks ago that he said could cause priapism.
And that sounds terrifying. It's like, okay, well, I'll never take this medicine.
it's one of those like 0.001%.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think there are a number of medications that can cause priapism. Actually, it's somewhat common, not common, but it's like it's a possible side effect of a lot of meds. But it's a medical emergency. That's all. And I think that the thing they wind up sometimes having to do is put a needle in your penis and extract the blood. Because it's not circulating properly.
Right.
This 25-year-old woman, this makes me think of kind of some of the commentary I have sometimes about escorts and the availability of sex for young men. There should be a safe place and or way for a woman in this kind of situation to interact with a penis. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just stupid that it's taboo,
like
sprung
on them. So
yeah,
to speak.
It's like, look, I mean, there should be, I'm not sure what, but there should be some way for a woman to say, look, like safe. Like maybe there's an armed guard there, like whatever, but like, yeah, she should be able to just be like, hey, I want to go to the penis zoo and feel an erect penis. Like that actually makes sense to me as a, like, not every woman should have to do that or something, but it just makes sense to me.
Sure,
an option.
Yeah, request. Same with breasts for men.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just not, it's not, there's like a number of reasons I think it's not great for it to be, maybe mystery is good in life, I don't know. But I think a lot of times these kind of mysteries become kind of pathological. Like they're afraid, they build some crap up in their mind.
Right.
But yeah, his description was good. Like it's not like a piece of iron. Your experience, Keith, is that your skin is it more or less immobile, more or less mobile than the skin on your forearm? The skin on your penis,
less,
when you're erect.
Less, but that's because I have a very tight circumcision.
That's interesting. Yeah, and I think mine can probably move up and down like 3 inches.
Must be nice.
2 to 3 inches. It's more than my forearm for sure. Like definitely more than my forearm. I feel like my forearm's like an inch, maybe an inch and a half. I'm not sure.
Playing with it myself.
Depends on maybe how old you are.
And wear on your forearm and stuff.
Yeah. But my penis, like definitely, I think an uncircumcised penis, it should be able to go basically the full length of the penis.
Yeah.
So like it could be like 6 inches or something, but mine's like half that, which is acceptable. That's the other thing I was going to say, like your thing about the trapping your penis and doing the slip and slide with the woman. I think that might not really work for me.
Might be adaptive for me.
Yes. I think something weird would happen if I tried to do that. I'm not sure what.
Something weird.
I just think that the foreskin would cover the head of my penis and like I wouldn't get off or something. On the other hand, the more mobile foreskin might make it so you could trap the foreskin between them and then kind of fuck the foreskin like it's a vagina, which might be nice. I mean, it's basically what I do when I masturbate.
Yeah.
So I rub the foreskin up and down.
So, right. Yeah. I mean, that's effectively what I'm doing, I think.
Well, you're gliding.
I'm using the flexibility of her skin.
The thing you're, by the way, like we have to stop in a minute, but by the way, the thing you're describing is not possible. That thing was also, I didn't bring this up, but it's impossible if the woman has pubic hair. Right? I mean, because you would be.
No, you can go to the side of the pubic mound.
Okay. If the woman had like all of her pubic hair, it would be, the whole area would be.
How often does that happen anymore?
Yeah, so you're saying does the pubic hair situation play any role in your decision around this? Would it?
I encounter pubic hair so rarely that it's okay. Hard to say.
Okay, it's just irrelevant. Got it. So you're in some ways, what if there was like a problem with the waxing job or the shaving, like nicks or something, would that play a role?
I don't think it matters that much because at that point of a sex having session, there's usually enough various secretion that there's some moisture there. So it's not dry.
I was thinking maybe your fetish was to irrigate women's razor burn with your semen.
Oh.
It could be.
That would be thoughtful. But no. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Your Mileage May Vary. We famously pay $10 for any feedback we receive. So to get that cheddar, send us feedback to ymmvpod@gmail.com. You can also ask us questions there. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time on Your Mileage May Vary.